Blog Talk Radio.
As a nation and as a people, and this is what his vision is still today. a nation, a kingdom of priests, and who all is going to be included in that vision. And then what we look at in what we want to call the New Testament, even though we got pastors now saying that there is no such thing as the New Testament or the New Testament is not scripture, kind of doctrines and things out here from different, you know, different people. And I'm like, wow, this is, it's becoming crazy and crazier and crazier. Because a lot of people look up to these different people. They look up to these different pastors and, you know, these are mainline pastors coming up and saying that, hey, the New Testament is not really scripture. It's a bunch of letters, which is true. It is a bunch of letters. But those letters to those churches started with the New Covenant. And so Messiah said this is the New Covenant. But for whatever the reason, we want to do what we, whatever we want to do. Nevertheless, we're looking at this vision because to me, what's more important is that you find yourself aligned with the Most High and that you are living to fulfill His purpose and not our own. You know, we say we belong to Him, then we have, once we sign on, then we have an obligation to live to Him and for Him because of Him. Everything focused around that. And I think a lot of times, I don't even think a lot of the times, I think most of the time, me included, there was a time in my life where I said I belonged to the Most High, but, you know, my main focus was still on my life and what I was doing with my life and, you know, the things that I was going to accomplish and what I was going to have. But it really has to be about Him. And so, you know, and I think that, as I said, I can't speak for everyone, but I can speak for myself. But I think that a lot of people fell into the same boat I was in. And then continued to live their life and to try to accomplish those things that they had already set out to accomplish and to not necessarily worry about the vision of the Most High. As long as we felt like we were doing good, we weren't actively sinning, or I won't even say that we weren't, you know, sinning according to the understanding of what the church has taught us in the world, then we were okay. But is, you know, since the Most High has shown me other things and awakened me to other things, other truths that are His, then my attitude and my philosophy, my doctrine had to become His and not my own. You know, this is what I feel or this is what I think. It really has to be what He said. So we're going to go ahead and I want to welcome everybody to Yah Global Kingdom Ministry. I'm Brother Miles. And I want to welcome those in North America and in South America, those on the African continent, in the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, the communist bloc country, wherever you're at in the world, we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus Christ. I know today in the evening is also Feast of Trumpets, and you may have things to do, or if you didn't do them yesterday, this feast is commanded by the scripture that you present a food offering, a meal offering tithe. And so we want to make sure that we do that and that we partake of this meal together with Him on this evening as we celebrate Memorial Blowing of the Trumpet. That being said, I'm going to try not to stay before you the full time on this afternoon. You know, as Yah moves me, so will I move. The goal is to not keep you the whole 2 hours, but if the Spirit of the Most High flows that way, then that's what we'll do. So I'm just asking you to be, you know, lenient with me one way or the other, understanding that you may have to go in and get whatever you need to get ready to rest up or do whatever to attend for tonight. Okay, that being said, our statement of faith. We have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1 verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, 29. I can do all things through Mashiach who strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Father. And we lift you up and we magnify your name. We extol thee, O Father. We extol thee. And we bow down to you, Father, and we worship you in all our heart and with all our might, Father. For you are our Elohim, and another will we not bow down to you, Father. And we just pray that you be with us on this memorial blowing of the trumpets on this evening, Father. And we will be so anxious and so excited to spend that time with you. In Yeshua HaMashiach, precious name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all time. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. Father, we ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the judgment that you have placed upon us, that we would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you, and you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are turning from our wicked ways and repenting of our sins, and we will not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us, but to all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, a spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and that they would obey. Now, Father, as we go on to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And our scripture for today. Actually, let us go to Proverbs 29 and 18. Proverbs 29 and 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. May the Most High bless him to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Let's jump into this. No, we need to blow the shofar, as we are commanded. Thank you. and jump into this precept. And let us review real quick. The Most High gave Abraham his vision of making him his seed as the sands of the sea, and the multitude of the stars, and that he would make of him a great nation, and multiple kings would come out of him, and that all the nations of the world would be blessed because through his seed. He passed this same promise on to Isaac, Abraham's son. Isaac, Abraham's son, had two children, and of those two children, the Most High chose the younger to rule over, or to get the greater blessing over the older. The tradition was that the eldest son would get the greater gift or the promise. But in this case, the Most High wanted it to go to the younger son. He gave that vision to the mother, Rebecca, and didn't give that vision to Isaac, the father of the two boys. The mother goes about to make sure that this vision is fulfilled, just as Sarah, not having children, believed that giving her handmaiden Hagar to Abraham to wed and to have children through was a way of fulfilling that vision. Okay, and so we're looking at how people see this vision and the things that they have done to try to make sure that it happens, or to make sure that it happens. And some of them, you know, I know people that don't agree with what Sarai did with Hagar, and people that don't agree with what Rebecca did. You know, she told help her son to steal the birthright, but that was the will of the Most High, and she was willing to even to take his curse from him. I'll take your curse instead of you. It'd be on me and not you, in order to fulfill this vision. So now we're going to look at Jacob, Isaac, one of Isaac's two sons, the one that the Most High said that the promise was to go to. And so we want to start this off where we left off at. Esau is hurt, and he's mad that, you know, the promise, his blessing was taken, and basically Jacob stole it. But, you know, Isaac was telling him, hey, this is done. He shall be blessed. I gave him the blessing, and I can't take it back. Okay? So Esau, at this point, is going to kill Jacob, his brother, because he feels cheated. So let's go to Genesis chapter 27, the book of Genesis chapter 27. And we're going to get verses 1. We know that in this chapter is where the birthright was actually taken from Esau. Let's start in verse 35. Isaac has just told Esau that, you know, he's already given the blessing. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightfully named Jacob? Now, Jacob, that name actually means supplanter. For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Okay, now, what Esau is not understanding is that the birthright and the blessing are one in the same. He sees them as two separate events, but they are the same event. They are over the same thing. The greater blessing goes with the birthright, but he thinks Jacob has tricked him twice. Okay, he has took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said, behold, I have made him thy lord, thy master, and his brethren have I given to him for service. And with corn and with wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. Now he's telling you, you're going to serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. So he's saying you're going to serve your brother, but he's also prophesying to him that at some point he's going to break his brother's yoke from off his neck. So it sounds like Isaac is not happy with what has happened, okay? He tells, hey, you're gonna live by the sword and you're going to serve your brother. But at some point when you get dominion, you're going to break his yoke from off of your neck, okay? And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. So Esau feels that, you know, the death of his father is near. And so when his father dies, his plan is to slay his brother, to kill him. For, you know, because he's saying, hey, you took away my birthright. He stole his birthright. He did steal the blessing of the birthright. But really, the truth of the matter is when he stole his birthright, he also sold the greater blessing that goes along with the birthright. Now, Rebecca is going to intervene here again. 42, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebecca. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, does comfort himself, purposing to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Again, obey my voice. And arise and flee thou to Laban, my brother in Haran. Okay, so Laban is Rebekah's brother. I don't know how I missed that before, but it's Rebekah's brother. And tarry with him a few days until now. Here's the thing: she's telling Jacob to go to her brother's house for a few days until thy brother's fury be turned away. We know that few days turns into at least 14 years. 14 years. A few days until thy brother's anger turn away from thee, and he forget that which he has done, which thou hast done to him. Then I will send and fetch thee from there. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day? She knows that she has probably lost Esau because of what she helped Jacob to do, and so. She says she's going to send Jacob away. At least she loses both of her sons in one day because Esau is probably not going to respect her as his mom any longer, not want to have anything to do with her. Isaac has got to be mad as well because he has more or less disobeyed him and tricked him into giving the blessing to the younger son, even though this is the will of the Most High. She's going to be... a stranger in her own house. And so she's been like, hey, I might lose both of my sons today if I let Jacob stay here and Esau kill him. And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Het. Now the daughters of Het are the people that are around, and these have to be Hittites, and these are the women that Esau has married into or brought them into the house. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Het, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? So she said, hey, she's making a reason to send Jacob away, okay, and so that he can find a wife of her own people and really of the same people as Isaac. But this is Rebekah's brother, Laban, okay. Genesis 28, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So go get you a wife from your uncle. Now, this is a relative, okay? But this was not illegal. This was not illegal in that day and in that time. And Elohim bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. Now, the scripture says that Esau was profane and that he was sexually immoral, and they say because he took of the daughters of Het or of the Hittite, but they're actually saying it because he took Abraham's, he took one of Ish when he got mad because he knew that it hurt his mother and his father. He took one of Ishmael's daughters. Now Ishmael is his, they have this, Abraham is Ishmael's father. Abraham is Isaac's father. So Abraham, Isaac is his father. So this would be a great uncle. He's a relative, Ishmael. And so it's saying that he was sexually immoral because he went and got one of Ishmael's daughters to wed. But again, there was no law against this at this time. So this profaneness, I don't think it has to do with taking Ishmael's daughter. And I could be wrong with that, but it has more so to do with him despising his birthright. So Isaac still continues to bless Jacob and tells him, you know, you shall not marry of the daughters of Canaan. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and give the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which Elohim gave unto Abraham. So he passing the blessing from himself to Jacob. And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Padamaram with Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padamaram to take him a wife from there, and that as he blessed him, he gave him charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, that Jacob obeyed his father and mother and was gone to Padamaram, and Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan just please not Isaac his father. Then went Isaac unto Ishmael and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. Okay, and now I don't know who Nebajoth, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. That reads kind of funny to me. Let me reread that. Then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto him, unto the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife. So Ishmael took Mahalath, which was the daughter of Ishmael, and she was the sister of Nebajoth. So I guess Ishmael had two daughters, Mahalath and Nebajoth, to be his wife. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in this place. Now, this is when he's going to first have his first encounter with the Most High. The promise has been passed to him, and now he's going to start having, you know, visits from the Most High. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. and behold, the angels of Elohim ascended and descended on it. Now, the angels are going up and coming down. They're not saying they're going down and coming up, but they're going up and coming down. And behold, Yah stood above it and said, I am Yah Elohim of Abraham thy father, and the Elohim of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou spread abroad the west to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and all thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So the Most High, once Isaac has given this blessing to Jacob, then now the Most High visits Jacob to give him the same promise. Okay? And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely Yah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is the place. This is none other but the house of Elohim, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stones that he had put for his pillows and set it for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, Bethel meaning the house of El, the house of Elohim. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. So he called it Bethel, but then somebody established a city there before he established it as called Luz. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if Elohim will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall Yah be my Elohim. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be Elohim's house. And of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give it the tenth unto thee. Now Jacob is saying that, hey, Abraham gave a tenth. So he understood the law of tithing. He says, now, if you will do all these things that I've dreamt about, then you will be my Elohim, and I will surely give you a tenth of all that you give me. Okay? So Jacob has a heart after Abraham and after Isaac. And he knows about the tithing that Abraham did with Melchizedek. He's making the same promise. And so this, he believes the dream. He believes in the vision that the Most High gave to Abraham and that Abraham gave to Isaac. Now he believes that he's the recipient of it, and he has a dream, a vision from the Most High, that he's the recipient of it. And that he has to do what the Most High wants him to do. And so in this, he has a hold of the vision, and this is what's motivating him from this point on. And so the Most High does some work through him. Now, the fact that he was tricked into marrying the first sister had to be the will of the Most High. It had to be his will. Because he could have prevented it, could have stopped it, however, but he allowed it to happen. And then Jacob, still wanting the younger sister, works another 7 years, okay? But this situation is not ideal for the older sister, because clearly he didn't work 7 years for her. He worked 7 years for the younger. And so, but he's still sleeping with her. Even after you know, he wakes up and finds out that, hey, I went to bed thinking that I was going to wake up with Rachel, I believe the younger sister, as his wife. But Laban has tricked him into marrying Leah. And he continues to take her as a wife. And the Most High knows that he doesn't love her. He's not loving her. He's not in love with her. He's in love with the younger sister. So this had to be by the will of the Most High, because he could have said, no, we're not going to let this happen, or, you know, something else could have happened. He could have stopped it. But he had already, the Most High had already decided that Leah was going to be one of the mothers of the children of Israel. And so was Rachel. Okay. But when we read this, we have to see that there are a lot of dynamics going on here. Okay. A lot of dynamics. And it's all for the will of the Most High. What he wants to happen. What he wants done. And so, since all of the 12 tribes came out of both of his wives, and then their handmaidens, then we have to know that this is the will of Yah, because he's creating Israel himself. And so, we have then, in knowing this, when we read this, then we have to know that neither Rachel nor Leah were given a vision by the Most High like he gave to Rebecca. They more or less fall into the same line as Sarah. And so the Most High gives the vision to Jacob. Jacob has to tell them, this is what's going on. This is what I'm promised. But the Most High doesn't specifically, it's not written that he came to each one of those women and said, you know, you're going to be the mother of many nations. It's not, that's not said. Okay, and so, but clearly Jacob has to give them and tell them what he's doing and the vision that the Most High has. Now, each of these women start doing things, it seems to be out of jealousy, seems to be out of trying to outdo each other, out of not feeling loved, and one feeling like she's cursed because the Most High hadn't opened her womb, even though the eye of, you know, she was Jacob's eye, and that's who he loved. The Most High hadn't given her children. And she's, you know, trying to get pregnant. But because her sister was hated, the Most High said, okay, well, because you're feeling this way about her, let me give all of your offspring right now through her. And the one that you really want, and you love her, and you're treating her right, then her womb is going to be barren. So the Most High wants, he has to want them both to be his wife, but I don't think Jacob was accepting that at first. And so he continued to sleep with Leah. He was married to her, but he's working for Rachel, the younger one. I hope I got those names correct. I'll have to, when we read, we'll see. So there are some dynamics going on here, but it's to bring about the vision that the Most High wants and the nation that he wants and how he wants it. And so people will read these and, you know, come to whatever conclusion they want to come to. But the truth of the matter is, this is the vision of Yah. He knew that he wanted Jacob to be the heir. He also knew who Jacob would be married to, and he knew who would give him sons and daughters and who wouldn't. And so this is all in his house, in his wheelhouse. And so we might look at it and say, oh, that's jacked up. That's whatever. But we got to understand that it is the will of the Most High and his vision that counts. It's not necessarily what we want. that count. Can you read it? Genesis 29. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. Four out of that well that watered the flocks, and a great stone that was upon the well's mouth. And there were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, where are you from? Whence be you? Where are you from? And they said, Of Haran are we. Now he's headed to Haran. And he said unto them, Know you Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. So Rachel is coming with the sheep. And lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water you the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he had spake with them, Rachel came with her sheep, for she kept them. Now, he didn't have any sons. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of, now this is his cousin, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Now, this had to be a friendly kiss. You know, he's not kissing her like with a passion, I want you for my wife. At least I don't think he is. But, you know, he kissed her, and Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob's sister's son that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him. So we know that this is a family type of kiss. You know, the peck on the cheek, both sides of the cheek, what have you. And brought him to the house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah was kindred eyes, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, beautiful and well-favored, trying to say she was a brick house. Leah had tender eyes, beautiful eyes, but Rachel was just beautiful, and I guess she was set. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Now, Laban is not saying anything about no custom that the older daughter has to be given away before the younger. So what do you want? The younger daughter. Laban says, Well, it's better that I should give her to you than to another man. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days. So he's working these 7 years, and all the time he's got eyes for her, for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this works. Jacob is drunk. The room is dark. Leah's got to know what's going on. Didn't say anything about she's drunk. Here, go lay with him, and he'll be your husband. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. So Zilpah is, I don't know how old she is, but she's Laban's handmaiden. Okay? She waited on Laban. Now, apparently, he had not touched this woman. Hadn't taken her for, you know, hadn't laid with her in a way to make her his wife. Hadn't misused her in just a sexual way and not, you know, in anything like that. So he gives her to be a handmaiden to Leah. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled or fooled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee also for the servant which thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. Now, so Laban fools him, says, you know, we can't give away the older before we give away the younger before we give away the older. And Jacob agrees to serve another 7 years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week and gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So evidently, it's already a custom of the land. It's a custom that of at least Rebecca's lineage that the man can have more than one wife. And in this case, Laban has given Jacob both of his daughters to Laban. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. Now, Laban has a bunch of handmaidens, so I'm sure he wasn't left without one after he gave Zilpah away and after he gave Bilhah away. Okay. Again, you have to ask yourself the question, had he touched these women in any kind of way? Because then they would be, well, they were slaves. I don't know what the custom of the land was, but I don't think that he would have touched them that way. But he could have, which would be a whole nother issue. Okay. But he gives, you know, Zilpah to Leah, and he gives Bilhah to Rachel. Now, again, I don't think that they were messed up because I believe this is the will of the Most High. He wants to create a nation. Okay? And so he had to know that Laban was going to do what Laban was going to do. And he allowed it. And he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah. Now, he loved Rachel more than he loved Leah. Didn't say he didn't love Leah, but he loved Rachel more. And served him served him 7 other years. So this is a total of 21 years. Okay. First 7 years for Leah, second 7 years for Rachel, and then served with him yet 7 other years. So this is 21 years that he's with this man, Laban. And when Yah saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So the Most High is saying that he sees that Leah is hated. She is being mistreated. She is not being shown as much love as Rachel. And so he opens her womb, but Rachel is barren. Now, maybe it's because maybe Rachel is saying something, and I am guessing here, things that I would say, what, you know, why would this be? Why make Rachel barren, and this is the one that Jacob loves, and make Leah fruitful, and this is the one supposedly that is hated. But I think she is hated, maybe not so from Jacob's standpoint, but more so from her sister's standpoint. Because then, I never thought about this, but Rachel knows that she's being worked for, and she knows that Jacob loves her. And 7 years, she's waiting. And then when it comes down to it, her father grabs Leah and says, okay, we got him drunk. We've had this feast. Now, you go in unto him. This room has got to be dark. I mean, how does that happen? Can't be lit. He would see that, oh, wait a minute, you ain't Rachel. So however this happened, he was beguiled by Laban. He was beguiled by Leah. But again, this is the will of the Most High. And so he opens up Leah's womb because, you know, it could be Jacob's like, nah, I ain't really want no children here. Maybe he's not treating her altogether the way he should treat her because his eyes are really for Rachel. Okay. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely Yah has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. So, evidently, she didn't think Jacob loved her. But he was sleeping with her. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because Yah has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name shall be called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. So we know Jacob is not leaving her alone. He's not abandoning her in the bedroom. And supposedly, she doesn't feel loved by him because she thinks that, hey, I gave him this first son, and now he will love me because I gave him a son or because she gave him three sons. Now, here's the fourth son. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now will I praise God. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left and stopped bearing. She stopped having children. Now, again, the Most High could have allowed her to have more children. But he gave her four sons, okay? And said, these are the first four children, first four sons of Jacob. And Rachel still hasn't had any children. And you got to know, if he was in love with Rachel, that he went in unto her. But she's barren. Okay. And so we got this issue going on here. Genesis 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead? Am I in Elohim's place? Who has withheld from the fruit of the womb? So he's telling her, you know, I've been trying to give you children, but I ain't God. And if God has closed your womb, who am I? So he's angry about it because it's like she's trying to blame him for her not having children. He said, hey, you need to blame the Most High. He said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her. Now, wait a minute. This sounds like Sarai. All over again. Sarah, all over again. Here's my maid. Go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knee, that I may also have children by her. She's my handmaiden. She belongs to me. Whatever is hers is mine. Whatever she has is mine. So the custom was, and she just said it right here, he would go in and lay with this woman, and she gets pregnant, when it came time for to deliver, then she would place this woman between her legs, prop her up on her knees, and with her, you know, so she's between, this woman is between her legs, propped up on her knees, on Rebecca's knees. So she's going to give birth from between Rebecca's legs. And the child would belong to Rebecca. I mean, not Rebecca, to Rachel. I said Rebecca a couple of times. To Rachel, okay? Now, this is the same thing that happened with Hagar and Sarah. So we know that this is a custom. So and it may have been a custom where, even to where the woman didn't want to have children, but the husband wanted children, and she didn't want to have children. Here's my handmaiden, take her, and I'll have children through her. Okay, could even went that far, but typically, in order to bond the family and the tie, the woman would want to have the child. For the man that she's married to, she's going to get pregnant by him. But Rachel is, and she's desperate now. She knows what the vision is, and Leah has given him 4 children. She has not given him any, and she's blaming it on him. Well, maybe she's saying to him, you've given all your seed to her. She could have said this stuff. You going to sleep with her more than you sleeping with me. And because you're sleeping with her, I'm not getting pregnant. I mean, these conversations could have went any kind of way. But it is the will of the Most High. So I know that he's sleeping with Rachel and Leah, and he's probably sleeping with Rachel more. Because he loves her. And he loves her more than he loves Leah, but Leah, every time he touches her, it looks like probably every time he breathes on her, she gets pregnant. But not so with Rachel. Because the Most High wants it this way. So Rachel says, here, take my handmaid and go in unto her. And she shall bear on my knees, that I may also have children by her. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaiden, to wife. Again, 2 wives. The Most High doesn't play with somebody, and they are not your wife. And so we have these things twisted today. You got young men and young women, and old men and old women just laying with each other and not claiming to be husband or wife, not taking on that. And committing adultery, committing fornication. So he gave her Bilhah, her handmaiden, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. Now, you know this got to make Rachel mad. Wait a minute. It's me. I'm the problem. I was blaming Leah, and I was blaming him. Now, as soon as I give him my handmaiden, she's pregnant. So it tells me that the problem had to be Rachel. She probably was causing discord in the arrangement. And she was probably the one that hated her sister. You stole my man. But the Most High actually knew that this was going to happen, and he wanted him to have all 4 of these. Because out of these are born all of the sons, the children of Jacob, to become the 12 tribes of Israel. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. And Rachel said, Elohim has judged me and has also heard my voice and has given me a son. Therefore called his name Dan. Now, she is claiming the child as her own. But Bilhah, her handmaiden, who she gave to Jacob to be his wife, is the mother. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestling, have I wrestled with my sister? There you go. I've wrestled with my sister. So it's her and her sister having the problem. And I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali. When Leah saw that she had left bearing, that she wasn't bearing anymore, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. So something tells me that both Leah and Rachel know the vision. And the vision is that out of this man is going to become a multitude of people. And out of this man is going to be king. And out of this man are all the nations of the earth going to be blessed. And so they're in a race to see how many heirs they can give him, whether from their own body or from another woman. So she gives him Zilpah, her maid, and gave her Jacob to wife, again, to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob's son. And Leah said, now, here's Leah, here's Zilpah, here's Bilhah, all having children by Jacob, and she's had none. And she's taking pride in that Bilhah, her handmaiden, is having children for her, for Jacob, but they're not coming from her body. So you know this guy's still be messing with her. And she called his name Gad. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. And Reuben went in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrake in the field. Now Reuben is Leah's firstborn. Okay. And Jacob's firstborn. He's out in the field gathering mandrakes. He found some mandrakes and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrake. Now, they're supposed to all be one family. But it's the sisters that are causing contention, and mainly Rachel, because she's wrestling with Leah about, you took my man. And you're giving him children, and I'm not giving him children. And so I gave him my handmaiden that I might have children through her, so forth and so on. So she said, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. Give me some of those mandrakes. And she said unto her, it is a small matter that thou hast taken my husband. And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also? Now, wait a minute. This is not Rachel saying this. Leah saying this. Is it a small matter that you have taken my husband? And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrake also? So Leah's got some contention with Rachel as well. But the Most High chose to bless Rachel's womb and not Leah's. So it tells me the one that was at the greater blame here was Rachel. She must have started this, you know, a while back. And maybe even before, you know, even before Laban did what he did, maybe Rachel was rubbing this in Leah's face. I got a man before you got a man. I got a husband before you did. Yeah. And then Laban turns around and gives Leah to Jacob. So there's a lot of hot mess going on here. But it's all the will of the Most High to multiply Jacob. And he wants to create the nation of Israel. So now it is like six, I lost count, like six or seven to two. Wait a minute, let me see how many times Bilhah got pregnant. I think she got pregnant twice. Yeah, she got pregnant twice. She's given them two children. And now Leah has four of her own. And Zilpah has gotten pregnant. And so Zilpah has gotten pregnant. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will cause me blessed. And Reuben went in the days to have mandrake. Now, so we're back in verse 15. And she said unto her, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband? And wouldst thou take away my son's mandrake also? Now, but, you know, this is just a mess on both sisters' parts, because Leah knows that Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel. Leah knows that her father tricked Jacob and gave him her. But she had, you know, Jacob laid with her. He continued to lay with her and have children with her. But it's like he's having children with her, but he's not in love with her. And so she's by right claiming him to be her husband, but she's acting like Rachel has no claim at all. But the deal was not between Leah and Rachel. The deal was between Laban and Jacob. Well, I know you worked for 7 years for Rachel, but we don't give away the younger before we give away the older. So here's your wife. But if you work another 7 years, I'll give you the younger one too. He works another 7 years. And Laban gives him Rachel. So this is a deal between Laban and Jacob. But the sisters are mad at each other because of this. And Rachel said, therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for thy son's mandrake. So Rachel just prostituted him off. Give me some of those mandrakes. And Leah said, hey, it's not bad enough you took my husband, and now you want my son's mandrake? And what Rachel replied? Well, he'll lie with you tonight for my son's mandrake, for your son's mandrake. Now, and Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrake. And he lay with her that night. These two sisters bargaining for who he's going to lay with. And Elohim hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bear Jacob the fifth son. So this is 10 children right here as far as I can count. Now, for a mandrake. Now, either this woman is awful fertile, but she has stopped giving birth to children. So because she has stopped, she gave him not Bilhah, but the other one. And here she is now. Rachel comes and bargains, sells her knife with Jacob for some mandrake, and Leah gets pregnant again. And Leah said, Elohim has given me my hire. I hired him for the night for some mandrake, and this is my reward. Because I have given my maiden to my husband, and she called his name Issachar. Now, and Leah conceived again and bare Jacob the sixth son. And Leah said, Elohim has endued me with a good dowry, and now will my husband dwell with me. She's still wanting him to live with her, and he's not living with her. Who is he living with? Rachel. But he's still going to sleep with Leah. And she's the one getting pregnant. Because I have borne him six sons, and shall call his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Now, it doesn't say that he's not going back to Rachel. It doesn't say that he's not going back to Bilhah. It doesn't say that he's not going back to Zilpah. But the one getting pregnant is Leah again. And Rachel still hasn't had a child by him. Her handmaidens had two. She's had none. Leah's handmaiden too. And Leah herself has given him six children. And Elohim remembered Rachel. And Elohim hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, Elohim has taken away my reproach. Now, all this time, she was bragging on she's had children through her handmaiden. And she wants to have a children by him herself. And so this whole time, she's been feeling shame. And then when she rents out Jacob for some mandrake, here, he'll come and sleep with you tonight, Leah gets pregnant. Not once. Not twice, but three times. And now finally, Rachel conceived. And she called his name Joseph, said, Yah shall add to me another son. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away, that I may go unto my own place and to my own country. Now, something here. And I have to do a little bit of research on this. But he worked 7 years for Rachel. Then he worked another 7 years. And he worked 7 years, got Leah. He worked 7 years, got Rachel. And it said he worked for Laban another 7 years. Now, are all these children coming in those 7 years? I don't think so. It could be, but if we count it, if this was 7 years, now it has to be more than 7 years now that passed. But sounds like he has been here 21 plus years. Okay. And if in the first, I don't think, I mean, you guys can tell me, but Leah had four children back to back. And so that would at least be 4 years if they were not giving her time to heal. But let's say that they gave her time to heal, that's at least 8 years. And then when she stopped having children, then she gives her handmaid. After Rachel gives hers, children by Bilhah. And let's say that 2 years apiece. That's another 4 years. That's 12 years. Then it could be that Leah gave Jacob, you got Bilhah and, well, I can't remember the name of the first maid, Leah's maid, handmaid, Zilpah. She has two. Now, that could be at the same time or, you know, interchangeably with Bilhah. But when Leah starts to get pregnant again, I don't think she gives her Zilpah Zilpah to have children with after that. But I think he's still going to her. But she's not getting pregnant. And because Leah starts having children again. And the only reason why she gave him Zilpah was because he stopped having children. But something about the mandrake, maybe it made the Most High mad because Rachel traded Jacob for the mandrake, just like Esau did. And then the Most High, at the last, blesses Rachel. Some years that have gone by here, and I think it's more than 7 years. That's a lot of children to be born. Because that would mean that Jacob would be having to have Leah and Zilpah pregnant at the same time, which the scripture doesn't say that. And Bilhah and Zilpah would have to be pregnant at the same time. That's possible with the way it's written. But there are numerous years to go by, and it looks like more than 7 years. And now Jacob is coming to Laban and saying, send me away. Laban's still not ready to let him go, because Laban has been blessed by him being there. He then got at least 10 or 12 grandchildren out of it, and everything that Jacob has put his hand to, he's been blessed. So he's asking, send me away to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done to thee. Said unto him, I pray thee that if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, wait, for I have learned by experience that Yah has blessed me for your sake. So don't go yet, because I'm being blessed because Yah is blessing me because of you. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Tell me what I owe you, and I'll give it to you. All this time, he hadn't paid Jacob anything. And he started off supposed to be, but he actually did. Because the deal was, hey, you're one of my brethren. It's not right that you should work for me for nothing. What do you want to work for me for? I want to work for your younger daughter. I'll work 7 years. That's his wages. 7 years, labor. Then Laban fools him, gives him Leah. He works another 7 years, labor, no wages. Payment is Rachel and Leah, but really he worked 14 years for Rachel. Got paid Leah and Rachel. And in that, those who gave him their handmaiden. So this is what he's received. Now he's got children by all four of these women. Give me my wife and my children for whom I have served thee. So he's stating it right. That's what he worked for. And now Laban wants to come back with, hey, I ain't paid you no money. Tell me what I owe you, and I'll pay it to you. Say, because I'm being blessed because of you. I'm being blessed by Yah because of you. This is what this conversation is saying. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. Tell me what I owe you, and I will give it to you. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. So I've been taking care of your cows. And for it was a little which thou hadest before I came. You had a few cows before I came. And it is now increased unto a multitude. And Yah has blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? So I got your daughter. I got my children. But I've been working for you handling these cattle. And you only had a few when I came, and now you got many. So I want to work and receive some of the cattle. And he said, what shall I give thee? And Jacob said, thou shalt not give me anything. If thou will do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep thy flock. So now we know for a fact it's past 21 years. Because if we say he had all the children, got the two wives, four wives, got 12 children, and all that happened in 7 years, here's additional time right here. But I think that was more than 7 years before. Okay. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from them all the speckled and spotted cattle, and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and speckled among the goats. Of such shall be my hire. So he says, I will remove the speckled and the spotted cattle and all the brown from among the sheep, the brown sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats. Of such shall be my hire. Everything that is, I'm going to take those aside. And basically whatever they produce, it's going to be mine. So shall my righteous answer for me in time to come, when it shall come to my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats. Now he gave him speckled goats. Asked for the speckled goats. Technically speaking, all the goats that are born should have been speckled, okay, and spotted among the goats, and brown among the sheep. Gave him all the brown sheep. So the sheep that have been producing brown sheep, and they shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be according to thy word. So they make the agreement. And he removed that day the goats that were ring-striped and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flock. And Jacob took some rods of green poplar and hazel and chestnut tree and filled white stakes in them and made them white appear, which was in the rod. And he set the rods which he had filled before the flock in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flock came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flock conceived before the rod and brought forth cattle, ring-striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flock toward the rings and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and he put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whenever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutter, that they might conceive among the rods. So Jacob, and this is probably the Most High telling him this, or Jacob knows a secret, that when the cattle or the sheep see this, somehow it affects the way they conceive or the color that they're going to conceive. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban, and the stronger were Jacob. And the man increased exceedingly and had much cattle, and maidservants and men servants and camels and asses. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory. So now Laban's sons are saying, Jacob has taken what was ours, is really what they're saying. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. Laban's not acting toward him as before. Wait a minute, you got all the stronger sheep in the cattle, and I got all the weaker ones. And Yah said unto Jacob, return unto thy land and thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. So the Most High was doing this work, and all the time that and all the wealth that Jacob had gotten from Laban, the Most High, basically, in that time that he was doing this, caused all that wealth to return to Jacob. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock, and said unto them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the Elohim of my fathers has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but Elohim suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckle shall be the wages, then all the cattle bear speckle. And if he said thus, that the ring shall be thy hire, then all the cattle bear ring strength. Thus Elohim has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring striped, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of Yah spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring striped, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban does unto thee. I am the Elohim of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from the land, and return unto thy kindred. Now remember, who's talking to him? The angel of Elohim. But the angel of Elohim talks as though he is Elohim. Okay, and when you see it, when the angel has the name of Elohim in him, that angel talks as though he's Elohim. Okay, so when you see this, the angel goes from saying that I am the Elohim of Bethel. The angel is saying this. That's why I said the angel of Yah is Yah himself. Gabriel is not the angel of Yah. Michael is not the angel of Yah. Neither are any of the other angels the angel of Yah. The angel of Yah speaks always as though he is Yah. Always. Genesis 31. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion of or inheritance for us in our father's house? So they're looking for an inheritance from their father. And what they are hearing is that Jacob has taken it all. Are we not counted to him strangers? For he has sold us. He has sold us. Their father has sold us, them, and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which Elohim has taken from our father, that is ours, and our children now and then, whatsoever Elohim has said unto thee, do. So they are on. It appears that at first it appeared like they were against Jacob, but they're saying, hey, Elohim gave all these riches and has taken them from our father. That is ours. So, and he's given it to their husband and our children. Now then, whatsoever Elohim has said unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Now remember, Abraham left from around this. Abraham is from these same people. And these people worship idols. And Rebekah's father, her brother, Laban, also worshipped images. And apparently, so does Jacob's wives. They worship these images, and so they stole them. Probably thinking that, hey, this is part of our inheritance. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban's, the Syrian. So when it says he stole away, he left unaware. He didn't tell him, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had and rose up and passed over the river and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. So Laban said, hey, Jacob's been left with your daughters and his your grandchildren and all his flock that he got. 3 days head start. Took them 7 days to catch up to him. And they galloped up with him at Mount Gilead. And Elohim came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, either good or bad. Now, this is the Most High in a dream. Don't you speak to Jacob, good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me, that you left not telling me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? You took away my daughters like a prisoner, like you captured them by force. Why did you flee away secretly and steal away from me? Didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with tabrets and with the harp? We would have thrown a feast for you. And has not suffered me to kiss my daughters? Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. Now, didn't the Most High tell him, don't speak good or bad to him? But the Elohim of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take you heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good nor bad. Now, though thou wouldest needs be done, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my God? Why have you stolen my God? Jacob answered and said, Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy God, let him not live before our brethren discern that thou what is thine and with me. Take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them, the love of his life. And Laban went unto Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the two maidservants' tent, but he found them not. Then he went out to Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the image and put them in the camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me. I can't get up because I'm on my cycle. And he searched, but found not the images. And Jacob was wroth and showed with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is my trespass, sin, that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? See it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between both of us. This 20 years, now he's saying 20 years, have I been with thee? So the 7 years plus the 1 year for the cattle, 21 years, Jacob was busy. Okay, so let's say 14 years he was having children, because it had to happen in that time frame, not in the last 7. Have I been with thee? Thy ewes and your she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was born of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand did thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. So he's saying, you know, Jacob is telling him, hey, anything that you lost, you require me to replace it. Whether it was torn up by beast, whether it was stolen, no matter how it got stolen, you required it of me. Thus I was in the day that drought consumed me, in the frost of night, and my sheep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy 2 daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. Thou hast changed my wages 10 times. So in 14 years, he had those children. He's a busy man. Except the Elohim of my father, the Elohim of Abraham, the fear of Isaac, have been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. Elohim has seen my affliction and labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. And Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto the children which they have borne? Now therefore come thou, let us make a covenant, I and you, and let it be for the witness between me and you. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones, and they took stones and made heaps, and did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jagar Sahuta, but Jacob called it Gali. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and you this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, Yah watch between me and you when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives beside my daughters, no man is with us. The Elohim is witness between me and you. So he's actually telling Jacob, you can't take any other wives, okay? Even though the women that he slept with, other than his daughters gave to him. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast between me and you. This heap be a witness, and this pillar be a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. So this, you know, you hear people make this saying, may the Lord watch between me and you while we are absent. But this saying wasn't done under good conditions. This saying was done because Laban says, hey, the daughters are mine, the children are mine, they're my grandchildren. All that you have is mine. But what harm can I do to my daughters and my grandchildren? But the Most High has already told him, don't speak good or bad. Okay. So now, may Yah watch between me and you. May he be a witness. We're not going to be together. Jacob, you can't have no more wives other than my daughter. And Yah's going to watch between me and you. And you're not going to cross over these pillars right here to come back and attack me. And I'm not going to cross over these pillars to come and attack you. Yah's going to be our witness to this. So this is like a contract, and it's saying, Yah be the witness between us that we keep our word. And the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Nahor, the Elohim of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat thereof, to eat the bread, and they did eat and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. Now, he came and kissed his sons and his daughters by, but really his intent when he was first coming was to do harm, probably to come and take them back. And his daughters had told Jacob, we're on your side. So, you know, our father hasn't given us our inheritance, and you've taken everything from him as far as, you know, what's good, but it was the Most High's doing. And so Rachel hid that she took her father's God. And so he couldn't really come after them for thievery. And, you know, I searched, but I didn't find them. I want to, you know, I don't think I ever read this for that context, but I wonder, I got to read and find out if Elohim made him get rid of those things. Let's go to Genesis 32 and continue to read. And Jacob went on his way, and the angel of Elohim met him. And when Jacob saw the angels of Elohim met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is Elohim's host. And he called the name of the place Mahananim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. So Jacob saw the angels of Elohim, and Jacob tells the people with him that, hey, these are Elohim's hosts. They, you know, they belong to Elohim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak unto my master Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses and flocks and men servants and women servants. I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And so Esau is stronger. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him. 400 men, and he's not coming to be nice. But, you know, the Most High is going to work with him, too. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. I just ran from Laban and his men. Now here's my brother. I already made a promise to Laban. I can't go back that way, and especially to do harm. But the intent was never to go back that way. And here I'm going forward, and here's my brother coming with 400 men. And he divided the people with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, and into two bands. And he said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it and kill it, then the other company shall be left, shall escape. So I don't know how, you know, we can read how he divided them, but he divided them into two camps. Whichever one Esau came on first, if he killed it, then the other ones would know, and they could run. And Jacob said, O Elohim of my father Abraham, and Elohim of my father Isaac, Yah which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truths which thou hast shown unto thy servant. For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands, two groups. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. So he feared for him, his wife, and his children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams. He's making this as an offering. The milk camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she asses, and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, pass over before me, and put a space between the drove, between drove and drove. Don't y'all all go together. Y'all go ahead, but y'all separate. And he commanded the foremost, saying, when Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asked thee, saying, whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose art these before thee? And thou shalt say, they be thy servant Jacob. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold, I also, and also he is behind us. So say, this is a present from me. And so commanded he the second, and the third, and followed the drove, saying, on this manner shall you speak unto Esau when you find him. Who you belong to? We belong to Jacob, but we're a present to you. Or the droves, the sheep, and all this stuff are a present to you. And he's coming behind us. And say you, moreover, behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the presence that goes before me, and afterwards will I see his face. Peradventure he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. So we're missing a son. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against them, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? He said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince that has thou power with Elohim and with men, and has prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, why is it that thou ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I've seen Elohim face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew with the shank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew, and the sinew that shrank. Now let's see what the Most High does to Esau. The vision, all of this is done to fulfill the vision of the Most High. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with some 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children up front. Now, so what he's saying is Esau's going to kill anybody, he's going to kill the handmaiden and their children first. Okay? And Leah and her children after Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which Elohim has graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, and they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this droll which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord or my master. And Esau said, I have enough. My brother, keep that thou hast unto yourself. 2. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of Elohim, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because Elohim has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord, knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord unto Seir. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some men, folk, that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. So we see that Esau meets Jacob, and he reconciles with him, doesn't want to accept the present, says, you know, I have enough of my own. And Jacob said, no, not so. I've been blessed, and so let me bless you. And let me come at my own pace, because I got young ones and I got flocks with me. If you drive them one day like you drive your men, they're going to all die. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him a house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padan-Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of honey. Money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel. And I want to know what this means. El Elohi Israel. The mighty Elohim if Yisrael, Elohoi Yisrael, the title given to the consecrated spot by Jacob. And I think that should be the mighty Elohim of Israel. They got if, but I think it's a name. I don't think it's the name of a name for Elohim. It's a title, the mighty Elohim of Israel. And we're at 201. Let's stop here. So we see that with this vision, we see how people are acting. We also see that the Most High wants you to believe what it is that he wants done, and he wants you to walk in it. And I'm still looking for Jacob to deal with these gods that his wife took. I don't recall reading that anywhere in Scripture, but I'm still looking for that, and for the Most High to have him to deal with it. But this is the custom of Abraham's father. This is the custom of the land. And Rachel knows that her father worshiped these images, and she took them. Okay, so we'll stop here in Yah's vision, because we're going to see that once more people start getting involved with this vision, The vision is pure between Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now when we start bringing in the sons, we start seeing problems. So with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is our whole duty. Get the vision of Elohim for you and make sure that you're walking in it. Shalom, and see you guys in a few for the Feast of Trumpets.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you.